Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Monday, March 20th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV, the first day of spring. Mm-hmm. We hope everyone had a good weekend. Ours was surreal and absurd, to say the least.
Bizarre.
Bizarre. We're going to fill you in on Wednesday. Tomorrow we have Bill Broombaugh on the show. We're going to talk about what's going on in the world today. But as many of you out there know, we're now moving into the fourth year of our war in Iraq, this disastrous war in Iraq.
Right. I guess yesterday, Bush and Cheney and Rumsfeld argued that their strategy in Iraq is actually working, mm-hmm. despite the increasing violence that we're all seeing in Iraq and what looks to be a civil war going on there.
Well, what President Bush said, the way he described the first 3 years of this war was, he said there's been some pain and some progress.
And some death.
Now, whenever people use specific words, you have to wonder why they're using these words. Pain and progress. So when I think of pain, I think of walking down the hall and stubbing my toe against the wall. That's pain. Or if you're out cooking supper and you drop a can of SpaghettiOs on your foot, that's pain. Now, do we have pain in Iraq? Is that a proper word to use to describe Iraq?
I think devastation, yeah. Destruction, chaos.
How about,
those are good words.
How about amputations?
Yeah.
How about soldiers coming back with no legs or one arm?
How about mass murder?
Yeah. How about deaths? Thousands of deaths. God only knows how many casualties or how many injuries, how many people whose lives have been shattered. How about Pat Tillman? A guy that gave up his football career in the NFL to go over there and serve his country. He gets shot. We're told that it was a big heroic event and so forth. We later find out it's just another lie.
How about illegal occupation of a country that posed no threat to us based upon a mountain of lies?
And billions of dollars. Now, are those words and are these images that just simply convey pain? Or is it something far worse? But how about the progress? How about the progress that George Bush was talking about? Well, we know that the people over there, it's been 3 years now going mm-hmm. into the fourth, they're complaining how they don't have any water. They don't have any electricity. They say they have about 4 hours of electricity a day. The infrastructure is destroyed. Mm-hmm. If you don't believe us, go on the internet or turn on even the mainstream news every night. You'll see what their country looks like. I wouldn't want my worst enemy in the world to live in a place like that.
Who is it? The former interim prime minister, Alawi?
Yeah.
Said they're about at the point of no return.
Exactly. There's over 100,000 Iraqi citizens dead. They have to wait 2 days to get gasoline for their cars. Here's one of the countries that has more gas than just about any country in the world. They have to wait 2 days in line to get gas. 4 hours a day of electricity. Imagine how your life would be if you had 4 hours a day of electricity. That's it.
Yeah, Bush's definition of progress in Iraq is pushing the Iraqi people back into the Stone Age.
Yeah. Now, May 2003, less than 3 years ago, do you remember the scenario? The big sign behind President Bush. Mission accomplished.
Well, we saw a sign in Washington, D.C. last year at the anti-war rally that we attended. It said, Quagmire accomplished.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it's more appropriate.
Yeah. Now, Lisa mentioned a man named Ayad Alawi. He was the former prime minister of Iraq. He said that they are in a civil war. He said this isn't about to become a civil war in the future. He said we're in a civil war right now.
He said they're losing like 50 to 60 people a day.
Exactly. He said there's ethnic cleansing. Now think of that word. Mm-hmm. Ethnic cleansing. That's words that were only used in other places in the world, isn't it? Not places where America is. Ethnic cleansing. He said there's street militias. 50 or 60 people dead a day for no reason other than they're a Sunni or they're a Shiite or they're just walking along the street.
Yeah, the violence is increasing on a daily basis, and the piece that I read said they had to pick up 15 dead bodies around the Capitol before they could even go in there.
People were being expelled from from their homes for no reason. They have a refugee crisis. Ethnic cleansing, refugee crisis. Is this progress? Are these words that would be used to describe something that's good that's happening? Well, I think this is actually having an impact on the White House. There's a guy named Jeff Davis who wrote an article recently called Stress, Deception, Mental Lapses of the President All Take Their Toll in the White House. Something like that. And he said last weekend at Camp David, there was a full-blown shouting fest at the White House.
I didn't read that. Between who?
Well, there's a little war going on between, it seems like, the enemies of Karl Rove and everybody else. People are sick and tired of what they see going on there. The article starts off quoting an article from last October that says an uncivil war rages inside the walls of the West Wing of the White House. A bitter, acrimonious war driven by a failed agenda, destroyed credibility, dwindling public support, and a president who lapses into Alzheimer-like periods of incoherent babbling.
In other words, he's an overall failure.
Yeah. Now, this is progress, right? And what we have, it seems like, is Karl Rove on one side. He keeps pushing the agenda down, the propaganda. And then on the other side, I guess the people that are most opposed to him is Andrew Card, who's one of the mouthpieces for the president. He's the guy that was the famous picture, he's whispering in George Bush's ear.
Yeah, on 9/11.
Yeah. And what they describe the White House as is now is a wartime bunker. Think about that.
Doesn't that make you feel good? Inspires confidence to know we're having little internal wars in the White House.
On a daily basis, we hear more and more polls about how opposed people are to this president, how opposed people are to the war, how little faith people have in this administration, how many lies they think this administration has told us from A to Z.
Right.
And yet, in their focus, in their target, next is Iran. Iran. Now, considering what a disaster Iraq is, with a military that was virtually wiped out 10 years ago and never recouped. I mean, when we went into Baghdad, there was no resistance. And everyone said, well, they have all these weapons of mass destruction and so forth. How many flyovers did we do of Iraq? And how many of our planes were shot down before the war? None. They didn't have anything. They had nothing. Yet we still went in there. A disaster.
It's going to be very, very different with Iran.
Yeah. Now, here's a country that has a strong military, that has a people that's fanatical, that has a people that aren't going to roll over and play dead.
It's a nation that hasn't suffered from years and years of military sanctions, like Iraq did.
Yeah. Now, Donald Rumsfeld over the weekend came out, and there's an interesting quote. He says that he's still trying to figure out what to do if Iraq erupts into a civil war.
Hello?
Now, how much confidence, Lisa, does that put in you, where here's the commander of our armed forces, and they're saying, well, he's still trying to figure out what to do if there is a civil war?
I'm convinced they live in a parallel universe.
Exactly. When was it? Last Friday, Lisa, or last Thursday? John Kaminsky was on Michael Collins' Piper show, and Piper asked him who he thought was in charge of 9/11, at least the implementers. And Kaminsky said, I think Rumsfeld runs the whole show in the White House, even above Cheney. If this is the case, we should even be more worried than we are now, because this man doesn't have a clue.
He acts like he's more confident than Bush himself.
Yeah.
When you watch the two of them speak, he's so smug.
Oh, he is. I can't remember the quote we saw on TV last week, but somebody asked him about the war. And he basically, wasn't it something like how can you even have the stupidity to ask a question like that? He was this far from just spitting.
He insulted the reporter and basically said the question wasn't even worth responding to.
Yeah. I mean, just this arrogance that he's above and beyond all of it. Kurt Weldon, how about him? The guy that's pushing the forefront of this able danger. He came out last week and told the Philadelphia Inquirer that Osama bin Laden's dead. He's dead. He said he died in Iran, and that there is no more Osama bin Laden. Now, is there? Isn't there?
Which version?
Yeah. I mean, this is all Orwellian 1984, and of course, if bin Laden is dead, they just replace him with the next boogeyman and put his face on the TV.
Today on Bill O'Reilly, I had the radio on for a little while, and Bill O'Reilly was on, and he was talking about how they trucked the weapons of mass destruction to Iran.
Yeah.
Saddam did.
Isn't that convenient?
Somehow.
And as we said last week, guess who is now classified as the greatest threat to America, according to this administration?
Da-da-da-da.
Yeah, Iran. Last but not least on this subject, John Murtha again came out over the weekend, and he said, this administration has lost the hearts and the minds of the American people. He said, the war is a disaster. We have to get out. And you know, Lisa, being that this marked the third anniversary of this disastrous war in Iraq, there were rallies around the country and the world. By reports in the mainstream media, which, of course, we don't put a lot of credence in, but they say in Chicago, 7,000 ralliers or protesters. Tokyo, 2,000. London, 15,000. There are also rallies in Boston, Pittsburgh, Trenton, New Jersey.
France.
Yep. Well, we're going to get to that in a second. In France, there's a little more than rallies and protests. But in San Francisco, approximately 100,000 people came out. So they said that even according to the anti-war crowd, that the crowds were smaller than they wanted or expected. But at least San Francisco got up into six digits there. But I'm glad you mentioned Paris. Because what they have going on over there is full-blown riots again.
Yeah, but they did have some protests, too. Because one of our viewers in France sent us some really nice photographs of anti-war protests going on there. And we just appreciate getting this kind of stuff from people all around the world. We get to show them in our photo galleries and whatnot.
Yeah. Now, we remember last year, all of the riots last summer that occurred in Paris. And again now, there's students and union members and so forth that are upset about some new legislation that regards work in Paris. And I don't know how many of you got this off, but they were starting fires, throwing rocks and so forth, creating quite a bit of disturbance. And I'll say to the people in Paris, thumbs up.
Yeah, really.
I mean, I would like to see anything like that in this country. If you go to the Wing TV homepage, we put the transcript from this James Spader monologue from Boston Legal last year. I think we didn't get to play it last week on our show, but we mentioned it, referred to it. And he's saying, what's it going to take for Americans to rise up? What is there anything that's going to make them?
We see that kind of passion exhibited on the internet when we're talking to one another on these internet discussion forums. Boy, is there some fire and passion and heat then. But when it comes to real life, outside the box,
nothing.
What happens?
Yeah, and I read somebody...
Cool your jets.
Yeah, I read somebody saying that isn't it pathetic that we have fictional characters like James Spader playing this role in Boston Legal that now have to become the mouthpieces against this government, against the New World Order. It's not real life people becoming the mouthpiece.
These are actors.
It's actors.
Right.
Like James Spader giving this monologue. If you haven't read it, go to the Wing TV homepage. You'll see it right there. And he hits on every cylinder saying, when this happened, he was certain that we were going to rise up. Mm-hmm. But we didn't. And on and on and on and on. So
I guess Venezuela's Hugo Chavez also weighed in on Bush. He's called President Bush a drunkard and a donkey. And I guess he uses a frequent nickname for him called Mr. Danger, sort of mocks Bush.
Yeah.
And he's convinced that, I guess, the United States is going to try and overthrow his country, too.
Well, the American Free Press has been bringing that up, too. Christopher Bolin is writing some great articles about that. Mm-hmm. So, they certainly have their eye on Chavez in Venezuela.
Bush, he commands respect all around the world.
Yeah.
You're a donkey, Mr. Bush. That's what he said.
Oh, God. Now, last week, again, we talked about Hillary Clinton. And we said, anybody out there, if you plan on supporting Hillary Clinton, if you plan on voting for Hillary Clinton, please let us know. Drop us an email.
We got one.
Yeah.
I think the guy said the only good thing...
Well, it's right here. This comes from Larry. Read what he had to say. And
he said there's one possible good thing that could happen if Hillary became president. Maybe Hillary would put some of the furniture back in the White House that she and Bill stole.
That's from Larry, and a good sense of humor there. Now, has anybody forgotten that? What happened when the Clintons left office, when George W., they went in there and ransacked the place. They stole hundreds and thousands of dollars of furniture. They destroyed things. They pulled keys off of the computers.
And the stuff they took didn't belong to them. It belonged to the people of America. It belongs in the White House.
Yeah. Hundreds of thousands of dollars of furniture and lamps and tables.
These are common thieves.
They are. They're thieves. And you know what? How you can tell how the Bushes and the Clintons are like this is if they were truly enemies or even political foes, George Bush or the Republicans would have came out and said something about this. But it was the big, shh, shh, don't say anything about this. Because they know that according to the big grand scheme of things, that after Bush runs this country into the ground for 8 years, guess who's going to be there to pick up the pieces?
No, to finish the job.
Yeah, that's it, to finish the job. But Hillary's going to be our savior that comes in, and everything's going to be right. Huh. But you know
what?
Are
you living in a parallel universe?
Yeah, of course, this is all said facetiously. And you know what? Maybe we don't have anything to worry about, Lisa, because of all the people, how many hits did we get last week? Like 420,000 or something?
422,000 and some odd.
So that's for 1 week. We still haven't received even one email from a Hillary supporter. Isn't that something?
Yeah. Is there anybody out there who would vote for Hillary Clinton for president? Seriously, we want to hear from you.
Exactly.
So far, we keep asking and we keep asking. We're not hearing anything.
Yeah. But what she's done now is she's raised $20 million so far. Now, some of this will go to her bogus Senate campaign in New York where she's carpetbagging. But most of it will be left over for 2008. They said by the end of this year, she will have raised about $100 million for her war chest.
Doesn't surprise you, does it?
No,
because people were talking about how the Clintons basically dominated and controlled at least a wing of the Democratic Party back when Kerry was running.
Right. Well, speaking of that, Hillary also is getting on board some of the biggest bigwigs in the Democratic Party as their fundraisers, people that were working for John Edwards in 2004 and also for John Kerry. Plus, she's receiving money from a guy now named Willie Tan.
Mm-hmm.
And the name didn't ring a bell with me, but Willie Tan was one of these Asian sweatshop owners that had to pay about $9 million in back wages to all the slaves that he refused to pay. Now, here again, we see the Asian connection. We remember when the Clintons were in. And also, this guy...
Is there any loser in the world the Clintons don't hang around with?
Really. And this Willie Tan... Guess who else he has very direct ties to? Jack Abramoff.
Imagine that.
Imagine that. So, already, before she even goes for her Senate seat for re-election, there's already these ties to all these scumbags. So.
You think that Bush's cabinet lineup is scary? Wait till you see Hillary.
Yeah. Well, they'll get that old Memphis Mafia back in there, that Dixie Mafia, and so forth, and get Bill's murderers and cronies and money launderers and so forth, and it'll be business as usual. So Bush, Clinton, Bush, Clinton, Bush, Clinton, crime family. 1, 2, 3, it's all it is. Now, before we go today, we watched 60 Minutes last night.
Yeah.
The first time we've watched it in a couple of years, I bet.
Forever.
Yeah. And there's someone on the radio that said you have to watch a piece that's on it. We'll get to that in a second. But the opening piece was about the NYPD and how they're taking strides.
We thought that was pretty interesting. The New York Police Department has taken initiative to guard their city, my old city, against terrorism without having to rely on the FBI, the CIA, or the rest of the federal government.
Right.
So they have developed their own intelligence force to protect the city against terrorism. And I guess it stepped on the toes of the federal intelligence agencies a bit, who became suspicious. But it tells you one thing. It tells you that New York knows the government did 9/11.
Right.
And they don't want them to be able to get in there and do that to them again.
Yeah. That's what it boils down to, is they have over 1,000 police officers, especially assigned right now to a terrorism division. They have an NYPD intel division, and they're basically saying is, you guys, that means the government, you attacked our city twice already. Once in 93 at the World Trade Center, and also in 2001, and we're not going to let you do it again. So they couldn't come out on TV
and just say that.
And just say, hey, the government did 9/11. So what they're saying in essence then is, you guys not only aren't going to protect us, you guys have attacked us twice.
Right.
And we're not going to let it happen again. So we're taking matters into our own hands.
Well, I thought it was interesting when he was asked by the interviewer, well, did you clear this with the FBI and the CIA before you went ahead with these measures?
Yeah.
And the head of the chief of police?
Right.
No, we didn't.
Yeah.
Went and did it on our own.
Well, they have to take matters into their own hands.
Would you trust them?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, and even though they had to put the spin on it, in some of the scenes where they're putting pictures up of Arabs and so forth.
Yeah,
if you got these guys,
propaganda.
Yeah, if you got these guys off camera,
they're probably showing
the
pictures of people that are intelligent.
Yeah, they're showing pictures of Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and saying, if you see that the Bush administration, has a brother in charge of security of a building, maybe that's the one you should start checking for explosives, because it might be another controlled demolition.
Good for New York for taking some initiative.
Exactly. And, you know, we wish they could come out and just say, we know who really did 9/11, but there's all these political ramifications and so forth. But
you know, New York, we all know that you know.
Yeah,
that's
exactly.
That's good enough.
Finally, there was a guy on named James Hansen. And who he is the leading researcher on global warming.
He's a scientist.
Yeah. If you notice, we don't spend a lot of time on environmental issues on Wing TV. We're not tree huggers or left leaning liberals or so forth. But it's a real danger. And anyone that says it isn't has to go up to the North Pole or down to Antarctica or go to the Great Lakes and see how they didn't freeze this year. And you know, we could spend half an hour listing all the different things. This planet is in trouble.
Yeah. What was very interesting, too, about this report is that this scientist, this researcher, Hansen, says that he's being censored by the government, by this administration. They are dictating or trying to dictate to him what he can and cannot say about science.
Right. He's saying that they're restricting who he can talk to, they're editing what he says, the administration censors who he's allowed to say it to, and it's restricting scientists from NASA and other environmental agencies from talking to the public
about what's really going on.
Right. He says that the Earth is very close to reaching a point of no return, where it's imminent danger, irreversible damages.
Right.
And they showed, Lisa, that one report that he filed and how it was redacted, edited.
Because they are rewriting science at the White House. And so the reports that are handed have to be reviewed by the White House. Changes are made, handwritten, onto these on the hard copy. And then that's what gets actually published in the final scientific reports that are coming out. And the scientists are against this.
Right.
This is all happening at the political level.
Now, you might wonder, well, who's doing this editing and censoring? Well, one of the guys is named Phil Cooney.
Right.
Who's he? Well, he used to be, get this, he was a lobbyist for the oil industry. Now
he works for ExxonMobil.
Yeah. Well, now... Yeah, before he left the administration, he was the editor for the White House on climate change. So he was a lobbyist for the oil industry.
He's a lawyer.
Yeah, and he's a lawyer. They asked James Hansen, well, is this guy a scientist? They said, no, he's an attorney and a lobbyist. And recently he left the administration. And who's he working for?
ExxonMobil.
ExxonMobil. Can you believe it?
It's a small world, isn't
it? Here's the planet burning up with all of these other dangers we're facing. And 60 Minutes wanted to talk to the president's science advisor. Well, they kept putting them off. Finally, they said that the president's science advisor will never be available for an interview.
Never, ever.
Never.
They're not accountable in any regard, any capacity, on any level, about anything.
This administration is going to go down as the second worst ever in the history of America.
What was interesting about the 60 Minutes interview, too, is the only way he was allowed to do it was if a NASA representative sat in on this interview, babysitting and monitoring the whole interview.
Yeah, and she's so probably going like... You know, just making hand signals off camera and so forth.
But so they're rewriting science. So not only are they rewriting our history, they're rewriting everything else, too.
Yeah. I thought that when Bill Clinton's 8 years were over, that he would go down in history as the second worst president ever. Of course, Woodrow Wilson, nobody can beat him for the horrors that he inflicted. But I thought Bill Clinton's second worst ever, and I'll be damned if George Bush didn't beat him as the second worst. And I'd lay money now that if Hillary gets in there, in 4 years or 8 years, we'll be saying she's going to go down as the second worst president ever.
How can you have any worse than Satan?
I know. Anyway, folks, we threw a lot at you today. We're going into the fourth year now of this god-awful Iraqi war. There's no end whatsoever in sight. We have Cheney, Bush, Rumsfeld, and all the rest of these bozos that are like fools walking off a cliff, and we're the lemmings behind them that they're dragging down with us. And look to the people in Paris. They're burning stuff, they're rising up, and they're saying, damn it, we're fed up. When are we going to be fed up?
Where is your personal line?
That's right.
Think about it.
We'll be back tomorrow with Mr. Bill Broombaugh from Proactive News, right, one of our favorite guests, and he's up on everything. So until then, folks, keep your eyes open. First day of spring, go out and enjoy some of it. We'll see you tomorrow. Until then, keep your eyes open because there's a lot going on.
See you all then.